welcome back to Vodka and Vindication.
Don't play with the people like that. That's not the name of this podcast.
We're drinking vodka. No. We're drinking vodka today as opposed to a cognac. And this episode is all about vindication.
But this is still let the record show. This is still cognac and conspiracies.
It is. We're cognac conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And it's my week today. So we had like a really great response to our last episode and about Tamla Horsford. So thank you guys for that. And I figured in the same vein, I would talk about another, I guess, case that is, you know, more current, more of the time mm-hmm. that people can still do something about. And that is the case of Lavina Johnson. And Lavina Johnson was in the military, and she was a private in the military and was in the Army branch in the military and was found dead in her tent on July 19th, 2005. And Jay, this case is crazy.
You already told me I'm excited.
This shit is crazy. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, I want to scream to the rooftops. So I'm like, why? Like, you got to talk about it. Like, so
yeah.
Let's just jump right in. All right. So Lavina Johnson, she grew up in what's called Florissant, Missouri.
Okay.
She's from a two-parent household, middle class or to upper middle class household. Her dad, Dr. John Johnson, and she has a mom, Linda Johnson. My mom's name is Linda, too. So, you know.
Her dad's name is John Johnson.
John Johnson.
Sorry. I make too many jokes. This is why we can't derail in episodes. I keep making jokes. No more.
Her dad's name is John Johnson, and her mom's name is Linda Johnson. And she decided she was going to join the United States Army right after high school. This wasn't something that she had to do. She's one of five siblings, and her dad had kind of saved money to send all of his children to college. He actually worked. He served in the military, and he actually worked in like a military job. So he had saved up money to send his kids to school, but Lavina, and he, like, I watched a few documentaries and things like that about it, and he always talks about how Lavina was, like, so caring and kind. Like, she kind of didn't want her dad to have to pay for her college, even though he had saved, and so it was kind of a thing where he had saved enough so that they can go in state, and she kind of came to him and was like, hey, dad, do you have enough money for me and my younger sister to go to college? Mm-hmm. He was like, I do, and they're from Missouri, and she was like, well, I want to go to school in California, and he was like, oh, that kind of took me off guard, but, you know, if I have to continue, you know, I don't have to retire. I'll just keep working and I can, you know, put you through school. But she felt kind of bad about that. So she was like, okay, dad, I'm going to join the military so I can go to school for free. And her parents did not want her to do it. And I feel like this is kind of like, it made me sad when I heard this.
Yeah.
This is a really sad case because her parents were like, no. Like, even though, you know, they had experience in the military, they were like, no, don't join the military. Like, I have money for you to go to college. I'll figure it out. Why would you join the military? She felt really bad. She was like, no, you don't have to pay for my school. I'll join the military. I'll get a veteran's grant. And, you know, I'll go from there. So she kind of got this idea when, like, recruiters came to her high school. It was Hazelwood Central High School in Missouri. So recruiters came to her high school. She came to her dad and said, I'm doing this. Her dad didn't want her to do it. And she was just kind of like, yeah, I wasn't asking you. I was telling you. I'm going to do it at that point, which that's a whole nother conversation in itself. Cause I don't like the fact that I don't think military recruiters should come to high schools.
I don't think so either. I think they only come to certain high schools, to be honest.
Yes.
They prey on high schools where there's a lot of people who either don't have the money to go to college or they just like haven't even thought about that as an opportunity yet. And I think there are a ton of great benefits of going to the military, but I do think that sometimes they are like predatory and like getting like vulnerable kids to make a decision.
Yeah.
Because it sounds great. Like, it is great. Like, honestly, I'll say the benefits are, like, better than any job I ever had. But at the same time, like, it might not really be the decision you want to make. But if you don't have any other resources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't agree with it. I remember they did it at our high school.
They did.
Yeah, they did it. But I feel like we had an opt-out. Because I remember
I didn't go.
Yeah.
So I know they came, but I have never gone to recruiting sessions.
Me neither. And I feel like I remember because I remember my mom coming with me one day and them asking my mom, like, hey, do you want your daughter to be in this recruiting session, mm-hmm. she was basically like, hell the fuck no.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very adamant. Like, no, like she was very adamant, no way do I want my daughter to be in this military thing. Like, we're not doing the military. We're not doing mm-hmm. it. And that's kind of how her parents were, but she didn't want to hear it. She wanted to go to the military. So right after high school, she enlisted in the United States Army, and her parents said that they asked about the war and, you know, they were concerned about her mm-hmm. as far as that, but they came back and said, oh, the fact, you know, your daughter seeing combat is like slim to none. Mm-hmm. And that was true. She never saw combat, okay. which makes this murder quote suicide cover up even crazier. Mm-hmm. She goes off to Iraq and she was only there for like 8 weeks before she was murdered. Yeah.
Really?
8 weeks. Wow. So 2 months. Okay. And so she goes off and she's in Iraq and she actually worked in a communications office. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't seeing combat. She wasn't doing like, you know, what you would, I guess, have in your head, United States Army in Iraq. She was in a communications office. A lot of people would come there to call home to their families and things like that. So as a result, she would call her parents all the time. Like they said that she would call like pretty much every day or every other day, every chance she would get. She would call home to her parents. They were very close. And she would call them and write them letters and be like, hey, I'm in Iraq. This is how it's going. She would write home and be like, you know, it was really hot here, but the nights are really nice. And miss you guys. I'm going to call you when I get a chance. Mm-hmm. They talked very, very often. Mm-hmm. And this is important because the way they try to spin this story after the fact is crazy. But this is important. So she's, you know, well-adjusted. She's having a good time. But, like, as time goes on, she kind of, there starts to be, like, little inklings of things that are happening that are not, I guess, ideal. So when they first got there, they were calling them female soldiers. And then they shortened it. And she wrote home to her parents about this. They shortened it, I think, to, she said, females. And then they shortened it again to soul because they were, quote, half a soldier. Yeah, that's what they would call the women soldiers
there.
That
is so messed up. She told her parents about it?
Yeah, she wrote home about her parents, but it wasn't even in a way, from what I understand, it wasn't even in a way that was like that she was upset. I mean, maybe she was a little upset, but it wasn't like she was up in arms. She wasn't like distressed. She just was,
yeah,
you know, talking to her parents about her experience there in Iraq and what was going on. So there was things like that. And then apparently she had another run-in with like a general or, you know, she, like I said, she worked at the communications office and her job, she would shut down that office at the end of the night. So like everybody has to get off the phones, everybody has to get off mm-hmm. the computers. And they weren't, there was an incident where like soldiers were not listening to her. Like, she would say, okay, I'm shutting down the office. Everybody get off the phone, everybody. And they just would ignore her. I guess mostly the male soldiers would ignore her. And one of the higher-ranking soldiers put her aside and was just kind of like, she was like, hey, I need, I guess, help with this. Or why are they not listening to me? And he just didn't really help her. And he was just like, oh, you have a soft voice. That's why that is happening. And she was just kind of like, okay. So she tells her dad about this, and her dad was very upset about mm-hmm. it. And he, like I said, he was in the military, he has a military experience, and he told her, like, basically that was very inappropriate.
It is inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, he was like, that's inappropriate. He shouldn't have said that to you, and you need, like, what they call, like, a battle body buddy or a combat buddy. Just basically, like, it's the same thing, like, the buddy system. Just somebody to be with you just to make sure that you're okay and yeah. everybody's going with you. And he was like, oh, you need to request that. And she was kind of apprehensive about it because she didn't want to, I guess, rock the boat or make mm-hmm. waves or kind of, like, make enemies. And he basically told his daughter, like, if you don't request it, I'm going to call down there and request it. That's what he said. Yeah. Look, let me tell you, her daddy ain't nothing to play with. Her daddy ain't nothing to play with, boy. I'm telling you, when I was watching all these like videos and, you know, documentary stuff about it, I was like, yo, her daddy not playing. And he's like, look, I'm not playing with you niggas. Y'all did something to my daughter, and I know y'all did. I'm not going to let it go. So he was like, oh, if you don't request the buddy, I'm going to request the buddy because that's very inappropriate. I don't like it. So before she could even do that, she was found dead. So her,
what?
Yeah, like I said, she was only there for 8 weeks And, you know, with letters. So she's going back and forth. And here's the thing. There's nothing that says she even ever had the intention of doing it. Because, like I said, she was apprehensive about it. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want to make waves. And so, also, what her parents didn't know at the time, she never told them, is she had actually been sexually assaulted. I don't know if she was raped. I'm assuming that she was raped. She had actually been sexually assaulted while she was in the service when she had got there, but she never told her parents about it. Yes. And that's another reason why she probably did not want to, I guess, say more, because she had already had that experience when she got there. This is in the 8 weeks.
Oh man. I have such, like, honestly, like, my heart immediately breaks when I hear about things like sexual assault.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't want to, like, jump the gun, but I'm assuming that she reported it.
Yes.
And she already had, like, this whole, like, black mark on her.
Yeah. She had reported it, and she was actually getting treated for an STD she had contracted.
Are you serious?
Because of the sexual assault. Yes.
I think I actually know this story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not spoiled, but I think I don't know all the details like you're going to provide, but I think I know the story because I think it definitely broke my heart the first time I heard it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably a reason why, like I said, her parents didn't know anything about this. She didn't tell them because she probably felt like she didn't want to upset her mom. She didn't want to upset her dad, and she just was going to deal with it on her own. Obviously, we know that didn't quite work out the way that she thought it was going to work out. That was the first kind of, like, inkling that they had that maybe something was upsetting her. But they said for the most part, she was happy. She was upbeat. The last time that her parents talked to her was on July 17th, 2005. They said she had called home and she was talking. She was excited because she thought she was going to come home early, earlier than she anticipated. And she thought that she would be home before Christmas. And she loved Christmas holidays. And her parents were like, oh, you know, she loved Christmas. And she even said to us, don't decorate the tree without me because I'm coming home and we're going to have a good time. And I'm so excited that I'm going to have to get to spend Christmas with you all. Right. This is July 17th. And they're like, cool, great. We won't decorate the tree. It's a go. It's lit.
Don't make this the first episode I cry on.
Don't cry. No, it's really sad, though. It really made me sad.
No, seriously. Because, like, Christmas is, like, such a big thing with my family. This is, like, okay.
It is really sad. So, they talked to her then, and she said, her mom said, she even said, hey, I will call you tomorrow. Like I said, she's very close to her family. She said, either I'll call you tomorrow, or if I don't get a chance to call you tomorrow, I'll call you the day after. That would have been the 19th. Because she was taking, like, a class in the military to, like, I guess, you know, I don't know what type of certification she was trying to get, but she was trying to take a class for certification. Mm-hmm. Like, I might not have time tomorrow, but I'll call you the next day, which would have been the 19th. So she doesn't call on the 18th, and her parents aren't that worried. But then at around 7 o'clock a.m. on the 19th, they said that there was a soldier that came to their house and knocked on the door, and her mom says she looked out the window and saw the soldier and said to her dad, hey, there's a soldier out there, which, you know, if you're, you have somebody in the military, you know, if somebody shows up in your house as a soldier, that's bad, bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was like, John, there's a soldier at our house. What does that mean? And he said, he knew immediately, like, something has happened to Lavina. Like, I know it. So he went and talked to him and he asked them, you know, are you their father? Are you their mother? And he basically told them, like, hey, your daughter has passed away. And at that time, he said that from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And
the air quote suicide?
Yeah, the suicide. So it's almost like he kind of let it slip because it was still under investigation at the time. So why would you say that if that's not a confirmed thing? And the dad, John, he even said, like, his wife is, like, losing her shit. You know, within reason, she's dead. She's, like, freaking out, and he was like, oh, my wife was crying, she was, you know, falling out, I kind of, like, even heard that, like, got my wits about myself to be like, hey, wait, did you just say self-inflicted? Like, are you trying to say my daughter killed herself? Like,
she said, yeah.
Yeah, she said he asked the representative of the army to his face, like, wait, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, no, he kind of backtracked a little bit. He was like, well, it's still under investigation, and I don't know what happened for sure. And he's like, okay, because, like, I don't really see that for my daughter. Like, I don't, I cannot see her doing that. So he just kind of backtracked and was like, no, you know, I don't really know what happened for sure, but we're still investigating it, and that's what's happening. Okay, cool. So the aftermath of that was kind of just like a big clusterfuck. Like, the U.S. Army appointed autopsy, the person who does the autopsy, he asked him to call him right after he did the autopsy. He didn't. I think he did the autopsy on July 22nd. He didn't call him till like August 3rd. And he, someone came, you know, to their house's representative and basically was like, hey, we suggest that you have a closed casket because it's very not pretty. Like, her body is very mutilated, very...
What the fuck?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
What the fuck? Yeah. And, you know, I love to make a good joke about an open casket, but I'm not going to do it today.
Yeah.
I know that broke a parent's heart. Like,
yeah.
But literally, that's...
But they did have an open casket. They didn't listen.
Don't make me say this joke. Don't. I got to do it. Black people love.
Black people love an open casket.
That's all I'm going to say, because this is a very serious subject. But all jokes aside. But no, that's actually really crazy though. They come and they tell you that it was like suicide, but her body is so mutilated you can't open casket. That's the reddest like flag.
Yeah. So they came and said, "Hey, we suggest a closed casket. The body does not look good at this point." Her parents had not seen the body yet because the military is very cagey from the jump. Very weird. Mm-hmm. Very cagey. Not trying to show them the body. Not trying to show them anything. So they were like, well, you know, let's see it. Like, we don't, you know, what are you talking about? And basically, they decided they're going to have an open casket regardless, and that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So they have the open casket, and they said that her sister was, when they got to the funeral home, her sister immediately was like, and this is like at the funeral, they were like, the funeral was pretty, like, in the view, was pretty traumatic because of the way that her body had looked, and her sister was immediately like, they did something to my sister, like, this is like ridiculous, like, what is going on with this body? You said she killed herself, but she's got, I'm going to the injuries that she had, and it was a lot, like, to the point where it's like, there is no way this girl did this to herself. So they came in and told them, oh, you should have an open casket. They didn't listen. And the dad said that at the funeral, he noticed that she had a bullet hole. Because, you know, they do the makeup and everything like that. But he still noticed that she had a bullet hole on the left side of her head. Mm-hmm. But she was right-handed. And he was like, okay, she's right-handed. That doesn't make sense. And the official story from the military, I guess I'll just go into the official story real quick. So the day of, they say that she took a turn for the worse. They basically said that she was deranged. She was mentally deranged. She was depressed. Something was wrong with her because her boyfriend broke over her. This is the military's official story.
It's also funky, though, because she talks to her parents almost every day. Mm-hmm. And then she also was sexually assaulted by somebody. Mm-hmm. So I can already see the pieces where they're trying to piece this shit together. Mm-hmm. But that's not it.
No. So they said she was upset about a boyfriend, and that's the reason that she killed herself.
It makes no sense.
Makes no fucking sense. Like, okay, yeah, you know, everybody's been upset about a breakup before, but it's not to the point where you're going to fucking kill yourself.
And she never brought it up to her parents?
Never.
I feel like she would have told them, I have a boyfriend, mm-hmm. and then she told them about the breakup, too. So the fact that she allegedly kills herself because of it, and her parents know her so well, mm-hmm. to think that she's, like, mentally deranged, but she can keep it together on the phone for, like, an hour and a half, doesn't make any sense.
And even her dad said, she was like, if she was that mentally deranged, then why were y'all letting her walk around with the M16 rifle?
Exactly.
And also, he asked them for evidence that she was mentally deranged or that she was depressed. And you know what the fuck they said? They said sis was eating a lot of ice cream. And her eating habits had...
And that's why she's mentally deranged?
Stupid shit.
That's not sexism to me.
Like, they were like, oh, she was eating a lot of ice cream and, like, you know, stuff like just stupid... ridiculous shit. And her dad was just like, it's fucking hot. She's in Iraq. What you mean? Like, he was like, oh, but if she was like drinking beers all day like the good old boys, it would be fine. But like, my daughter didn't drink like that, so she was eating ice cream. She was hot. What you mean? You're gonna tell me my daughter shot herself in the head and your reasoning behind it is that you know she was depressed because she was eating ice cream? Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. Like,
That's not even a good reason at all for anything. Because like you said, I feel like the military, I mean, I'm not in the military, and I don't know anybody for all of that in the military. I do have relatives. But I do think that, like, if you actually are, like you said, military direct on a base, like, don't they owe you some type of health care or some type of, like, processing? And, like I said, even if she was mentally deranged, like, why is she still, like, managing and responsible for shutting down this facility? And then she also, like you said, still has, like, a rifle on her. It's like, what? Like, all the pieces don't make any sense. If she was really mentally deranged, it's like, but she's not mentally deranged to talk to her parents and dial the number. It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't make sense at all. But that's the military's official story. So their official story is that she, on the day of July 18th, which was the day after she talked to her parents about the Christmas stuff and stuff like that, that she took a turn for the worse because she got an email from her boyfriend back home and her boyfriend broke up with her. And I was unable.
Oh, her boyfriend back home?
Yeah, I was unable to confirm or deny that this happened. I'm gonna assume that it did because there was burned like papers and stuff in her crime scene. So I'm just gonna say, okay, fine, her boyfriend did break up with her, but I didn't see anything. Like her
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know if he did or he didn't, but like I said, I'm gonna assume that that happened and a boyfriend sent her an email that was a breakup email. And she printed it out. They said she printed out the papers. And she went to her barracks and that she later that night changed out of her clothes and she had a, I guess like a physical training class or whatever to go to. And she put on her, I guess, physical training clothes to go to the class, almost like she was going about her normal day. They said she put the papers in her pocket and took her M16 rifle and she went to buy snacks at the military store. And she said that they said that she did that with a male friend from the military and they refused to name this man because I guess they say he doesn't have anything to do with it. Okay, fine. Maybe he doesn't.
So her boyfriend sent her email. So just me being me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of work, but if there was an email to her military address or even to like her Gmail, there have been cases where you actually can, like, I don't know if it's like, was it a subpoena? And you can request, like if I have a Facebook and someone was like, well, Jade killed herself because like her boyfriend messaged her a nasty message on Facebook, you actually can request that Facebook opens up that Facebook and gives you the messages because there really is an archive for everything. If you think Gmail is deleting your emails once they're in your inbox, you got nothing coming, honey. There's at least still a receipt of it. I'm serious. There's a receipt of it being sent from that IP address to your IP address. I'm serious. It really is. Even if Google does not have the literal message that was sent, they do. They most definitely have a receipt of it being sent. Same for your text messages. Sorry, goes on rant. But same for your text messages or any online communication. If you think that shit was deleted, you got nothing coming, honey. There's a storm brewing.
Yeah.
But I guess it would, you know, because the military can cover up what they want to cover up. Maybe they never did request from whoever was the email, like the email server she was sending emails on to request it, that email actually did like come through.
Yeah. And I agree. And I feel like that's why I said I'm going to go ahead and assume that this was a fact, because things like emails and stuff like that, it's pretty easy to prove
a disproof. Yeah, it's extremely easy.
So I don't know why they would say a man sent her an email and he didn't, because it's very easy to find emails.
Yeah.
Technology, it's a paper trail, like you said.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and give that to them. But I don't think she killed herself because the boyfriend broke up with her. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it is what it is. So they said that the boyfriend broke up with her. She was upset. She left and they said she went to the store with this male friend to buy, they said she used her debit card, which is in the records, to buy a 6-pack of soda and M&Ms. They said she went back to the barracks with him, hung out for a little bit, and then left the barracks. And that was the last that anybody saw of her. And when they found her, it was about around 1 o'clock in the morning on the 19th, and the military's official story is that she had this like class that she was supposed to go to the day before, or you know, a short time before. And I guess, you know, the military, it's not like you can just skip class. That's not a thing. Like, you, when you're supposed to go somewhere, then you're supposed to go there, or you're gonna get in trouble. You don't skip and nothing happens. So that's when people started kind of thinking that something had happened to her or searching for her. They found her at about 1 a.m. on the 19th, and they said when they found her, it was like a pool of blood. She was in a, what they call a carpenter's tent, which I guess is kind of like a, nobody sleeps there. It's kind of, from what I understand, it's kind of storagey, very like dusty, like no reason for you to really be in there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a tent where people sleep or do work. It's just kind of like, ugh. You know what I mean? So she was in there. She had a pool of blood by her head. And she kind of was like in this position. And I'm not going to show you the pictures. But she was kind of in this position where like her hand was kind of over her head like this. Mm-hmm. Her arm was over her eyes. And
That's how she fell from a suicide?
Girl.
That's how she fell from a suicide?
Girl, don't even get me started. Okay? I'm about to get started. Okay? So that's how they found her. And they found an M16 rifle also in the carpenter's tent. I don't know if you know anything about guns.
I know.
Do you know what an M16
is? No, I know.
Okay.
I know what an M16 is.
So their story is that she took the M16. Remember, her dad said, oh, she had a bullet hole on her left side of her head. What is up with that? He said he asked the autopsy reporter straight up when he called him. I saw that. What is that about? And he told him that that wasn't an entry wound. That was an exit wound. And that she used an M16 rifle to put it in her mouth and shoot herself. And that that's where the bullet exited. So, just for context, Lavina was 5'1". She was very small. She was very short. Like your height, I guess, about. I'm 5'3". I'm short. You know what I'm saying? I'm only 5'3". So, I'm like, she's shorter than me. She's really little. An M16 rifle is 40 inches long, which is over 3 feet long. Yes.
So, was that... So, that wasn't like her... I don't know anything about the military at all, so shoot me down. But not literally... but like, was that her rifle, or can you just check out rifle?
Oh, that's her rifle. That's what she walked around with. Was an M16 rifle, right? So this is what an M16 rifle looks like. It's 40 inches long. It's a big ass gun, basically. It's a big old gun, and she's 5 feet tall, 5'1", and this rifle is about 3 feet and some change long. And they said that she took the rifle and configured it in a way that she put it in her mouth and pulled the trigger. Okay, first and foremost,
I'm trying to get the feel of like how I would even do
it's
that.
Physically impossible.
Oh, have you
spoiler
up?
Alert.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit. That's
not possible. Especially in a way that the
I'm like
no, yeah, Jay's standing up now.
I'm trying to do it because actually, I think there's no way.
There's no way.
And the bullet hole's on the side of her
on
face?
The left side of her head. How would that even happen? Entry or exit wound. How would that happen? That's not possible. Like, and there was another case, just for example, there's more cases like this about women getting killed in the military. There's another woman, her name was Tina Priest, just for further evidence in this case. And her family, it was a very similar case. The military said she shot herself with an M16 handgun. She got raped as well.
Literally, they literally said the same thing.
Yeah. She got raped as well, but the difference with her, she told her family about it, and she was like fighting it in court. She was found dead in her tent. They said she shot her with an M16 handgun. And she was 5'2", 1 inch taller than 1 inch taller than Lavina. So in the independent autopsy that her family did found that it was physically impossible for her at 5'2 to have pulled the trigger in that way. And you know what the U.S. military said? You know what the explanation for this was? They said she pulled the trigger with her big toe.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not fucking lying.
Are you dead ass?
I'm dead the fuck ass and closed the case. They said, okay, cool.
She stepped on it?
Like
what?
Pulled it with her toe. Yeah. Put her foot in it and pulled the trigger. Yeah. That's what they said.
And then even if Lavina got some top secret information of this is how you do it.
There's
no way she fell like that either, though. If you literally took your toe and hypothetically pulled it, you're standing on like 1 foot and hitting the trigger, and like you fall back and your arm, like you just majestic like Snow White on the ground.
And
that's not how this works.
And also, the M16 rifle was found like several feet away from her body.
That's not how this works.
But nobody knew that. So here's the thing. When her family requested the photos, information about the crime scene and all this stuff, autopsy, they got a bunch of very like low quality Xerox black and white copies of the crime scene. So everything was in black and white. It was photocopy stuff. Even within black and white, look at like it had been copied over and over and over again. And I saw these photos because I watched like this short documentary about it. And they showed the copies of the photos or copies of the crime scenes. It literally looked like nothing. Like everything was indistinguishable. But somewhere in those files was a photocopied picture of a CD. And her dad asked, who knows why that picture was in there, but I guess thank God it was. Her dad asked, like, hey, what is this CD? Yeah. And they were like, oh, that's like a photocopy image of a CD. And he's like, I need to see this CD. I would need to see what's on the CD. So they basically told him, no, you're not entitled to that information. And if you want it, then you'll have to take us to court. And he had to file a petition to get every page of her documents about her crime scene released to him. They didn't want to give them anything. So he filed something for this CD and was like, hey, I see this CD in here. I need the CD. They don't want to give it to them. They're like, hey, basically, if you want it, talk to our legal team. Is basically what they told him. Yeah. So he was like, all right, fuck the U.S. military. I'm not dealing with y'all. He decides he's going to go to the media. Mm-hmm. And he contacted the congressman, and the congressman's name was Lacey Clay, and told them the story. And Lacey Clay basically addressed the military and was like, hey, y'all need to address this situation, whatever, whatever. And this was on live television. You can pull the video up. I'm going to link it in the description. And they basically fake nice on TV, and he was like, hey, we need the CD. Her dad needs the CD. And he was like, oh yeah, just submit the paperwork and we will
give it to you,
release it. As soon as the cameras cut off, he goes to the congressman and was like, they're not entitled to that, we're not giving it to them. Immediately. Yep.
So to this day they never have it?
No, they have it. Oh, after shit. 2 years.
Oh my god.
Took them 2 years to get this CD. And this CD was basically like, you know why they didn't want them to have this CD. So basically in the CD is where they found the full color photos from her crime scene, her murder. That's where they found out that the rifle was so far away. There was tons of, basically you could see in the photos that there was blood on her back. There was photos of blood outside the tent. Her teeth were broken.
Whoa.
So basically her injury, she had a broken nose, like someone had broke her nose and reset it, broken cheekbones. Her teeth had bitten, in the documentary it was like very graphic. Her teeth, like they pulled down her teeth had bitten into her lips. Like, you know, like there was a struggle. She had a split jaw, a broken neck, a dislocated shoulders, black eyes. Like I said, her teeth were loose. And this is like the doozy. She had chemical burns on her genitals.
What the fuck?
Yes, someone had poured.
Because they yes. Don't even, but I feel like somebody raped her ass. Yes. And they don't want the DNA there. Somebody.
Yes.
That is the most fucked up in my whole, 6 months of podcasting? That's the most fucked up shit I've heard to this day.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yep.
Is there a petition or anything?
There's a petition, awesome. And I will link it so people can, you know, look to reopen her case. But yes, there was chemical burns on her genitals, on her vagina, where someone had poured corrosive liquid on her vagina. Like you said, the assumption is that they have raped her and were trying to cover up their DNA evidence, and they didn't want anybody to know it. And the other thing that was, you know, even, and this was only discovered after her family got like an independent autopsy, independent study, is that portions of her body were like missing. Like there was actually a chunk of her vagina that was cut out, and her tongue.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so basically they think that what happened is that there was evidence that something was inserted in her vagina, and whoever inserted whatever they inserted in there used something called, I think it's called a stat wound or a stat something that they use in the military. And basically what that is like they stick it on a wound to basically stop somebody from bleeding. Okay. And then you have to surgically remove it. It's like a life-saving procedure. Not that anybody tried to save her life, but they were probably trying to stop the bleeding or whatever the fuck was going on. So they basically think that they used that and then cut out the portion of her vagina, and they think that the portion of her tongue that was missing is because, as you remember, the M16 rifle doesn't really make sense. What probably happened is the person shot her and the bullet, the casing for the bullet was found under her right leg, but they never found the bullet that was supposedly from the M16 rifle that she fired into herself. Yeah, so the person, whoever killed her, picked it up, didn't see the casing because it was underneath her body.
Yeah.
And they say that probably what they did is the bullet probably got lodged in her tongue and her mouth because they shot her.
Oh my God.
And who, either the person who did it or the person who was in charge of the military cover up, cut her tongue out. Cut that part of her tongue out because they didn't want them to find that bullet. And also, there was found that the bullet entry wasn't consistent with the M16 rifle. It was more consistent with a 9mm, which is like a pistol, like a handgun.
And that makes sense.
Which makes more sense, yeah. And that's what her dad said to the guy who did the autopsy. He was like, hey, I was in the military. I know a lot about military. And my daughter shot herself at point blank range with this, like, semi-automatic 40-inch rifle. Yeah. She should have a big ass hole in the back of her head. She didn't have no big old hole. It was a bullet hole in the side of her head. And he was like, oh, you know, yeah, you're right. And he's like, so where's the hole? And he was like, oh, there is a hole. And he was like, it's on the left side. And he basically said the guy told him, oh, it depends on which way you look at it. Just like talking in circles.
Yeah.
Stupid shit. And he was like, what you mean? Like, I seen with my own eyes that the bullet hole was on the left side of her head. And even if she was going to shoot herself in the head, she's right-handed. So this is not adding up.
Dude, my condolences really go out to her family, though. Like, as involved as her dad is, that makes me so sad and upset. Not even have the words for it because, like, what's been going on lately, I feel like I'm just, like, drained of hearing the abuse of black women over and over and over again, like a record. And it really does seem like literally nobody gives a fuck and nobody cares about black women at this point. But just hearing how much her dad cared for her and really fought for her, like, really breaks my heart. Especially, like, I can't even imagine if my daughter, like, all this happened and then just knowing, like, the pain she went through before she passed away, that's, like, really hard to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And, I mean, he's still fighting, like, and it's really sad because the dad, most of the interviews and the documentaries and stuff I watch is always the dad. And that's not, you know, he even said, like, her mom is very, like, she can't take it. Like, she
can't take it. Yeah.
She can't talk about it. He even says they have to keep the photos of her, like, tucked away because her mom cannot even look at the photos because it upsets her so much. So he's like, I'm basically like fighting for my daughter on both of our behalf, but like she can't do it the way I do it because it upsets her so much.
I've heard a lot of stories like that. Yeah. And that, I mean, it makes honestly, like, I hope one day, I really don't hope to never be in that position, but I hope if I ever was, I could fight and be strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine though, like, especially being a woman, when you hear about those types of things done to your daughter, it just real, like, my insides really start to like quiver. Like,
yeah, it is terrible. So, yeah, it's like, I'm like, how? It doesn't make any sense. Like I said, she's barely over 5 feet tall, 5'1". This rifle is more than half her size, standing up. And another woman who was, quote, found dead in the same way, it was physically impossible. She's 5'2". She's taller than
her. Was that a black woman?
I think she was Hispanic, but I'm not sure. Her name was Tina Priest. Or Tina Price, P-R-I-E-S-T. And
so she was a minority, though.
Yeah, it was physically impossible for her to do that. And they're saying that Lavina at 5'1 could have done it. If she was 5'2, it's physically impossible for her to do that, too. Especially in a way that it exited in the left side of her head.
But it doesn't matter either way, though.
No, it doesn't.
Because the way her body showed up, something happened.
Something
it doesn't matter. Even if after all that shit happened, Lavina was like, you know, and with... like, and she decided that was the time to kill herself. Either way, somebody is responsible for some shit.
Yeah.
I know she did not only pour acid on her genitals and cut it off. And she didn't cut her tongue out of her mouth either.
No,
so
she didn't.
That day, if they really want to say she killed herself, somebody is still responsible for all the other things that happened to her.
And she was found fully clothed, like, in her like physical training clothes, but when they took the clothes off her, like, so it's like, okay, so she had burns on her back and she had burns on her back and she had burns on her, like I say, on her genitals and like the inside of her thighs, but she was fully clothed. So in order for this to make sense, she would have had to And there were burns, like, they said that she basically tried to burn the tent. Like, there was, like, an aerosol can and, like, the papers from the boyfriend.
She tried to burn
the tent. That's what they said.
She tried to burn the tent?
Yeah, they said she tried to burn the tent because there was burnt up papers from, like, the little email papers mm-hmm. and, like, a little can and a lighter, little burn marks on the tent, burn marks on her body, like, the liquid on her genitals. And the thing is, her dad, when he asked the autopsy, he was like, hey, if you're saying my daughter killed herself because she was distressed, did you check for rape? Did you check for sexual mm-hmm. assault? And he was like, no, because there was no sign of a struggle. And this was before he ever got any photos or anything like that. They said there was no sign of a struggle. Meanwhile, he finally sees the body and finally sees the picture, and her nose is broken, her teeth are loose, her neck is broken, her eye is black. And also they glued the gloves for the funeral. They glued the gloves on her hand. So that nobody could take the gloves off her hand. And he said when he asked the funeral home about that, they said that the military asked them to do that, and that was something they had never done before.
Yeah, I don't even know how you'd even do that.
Because she had defensive marks on her fingers, and they didn't want anybody to see it. You can see it in the photos that they finally got their hands on.
So they put, okay, so like just to backtrack. So when they found her, she had the clothes on for her defense class. Mm-hmm. But was her clothes even bloody or something like that? Or did they, like, I feel like they took them off and they tried to, like, dress her back up or whatever? Like,
she had blood, like, on the back of her, like, shirt and stuff like that. Because when they found her, she did have, like, a big old pool of blood next to her.
Oh, I guess.
So it would leak into her shirt and things like that. But there was also,
oh my God.
There was also blood found outside the tent. Almost like somebody had killed her and then dragged her into the tent. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense at all. Nothing about it makes sense. Nothing about this makes sense.
The wild thing is, like, if I remember correctly, I think it acts as, like, a group of people. Like, I don't think there's one solo attacker. It's, like, a group. Yeah. It's, like, a group effort to do this, which is, like, it's disgusting.
Yeah, because in order for this to have happened, a lot of people have had to cover this up. You know what I'm saying?
Don't even get me started. There's so many people involved in this. Don't even get me started about how many people I feel are, like, I feel like it's like 100 people top, like minimum, who are involved in this whole cover-up.
Yeah.
It is literally disgusting to see time and time after again how, like, literally, systematically, people are literally going in doing little checks and balances and making sure that to protect, what, 2-3 people?
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. I'll say it again. People really do not value life of a black woman, and it just presents and presents and represents itself over and over again.
Nothing go fuck about her. That shit is crazy. So, yeah, her family, they never got justice for this. Her mm-hmm. family never got... The case is, I think, officially closed, and they did. There was a company, the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, they did conclude that she shot herself in the mouth, but there have been third parties that have come in and, like, try to pick the case up and mm-hmm. things like that, but it's so hard. I think they said, like, CBS tried to run a story on her, but they threatened to pull their funding. So it wasn't Ebony, but it was Essence magazine that tried to run a story. And they said that they were threatened to have their military ad dollars pulled if they ran a story on this. And so they ended up running the story, but, like, watered down.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give the full details or anything like that because they didn't want the magazine to have their funding pulled. So the military is basically bullying people because this is so blatantly a cover-up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so crazy. Like, what the fuck? But the military is bullying people into not talking about it and not saying anything about it. Like, we're going to pull your ad. We're going to pull your funding. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to make you out to, like, an anti-American mm-hmm. whatever the fuck if you go against us. And it's like, nobody's going against, like, the military, which or whatevs. It's like, nobody's going against the military. We're just talking about this one specific thing that you did that was wrong. Like, what the fuck is going on here? This is crazy.
That is such a trend, though. It's like, no one's trying to come at your neck. We just want this one situation
resolved
and a few people involved in it to get what they deserve.
Yes. And it's crazy. Like, it's totally ridiculous. So, her family's still fighting for her. This happened at 2005. It's 2020 now. It's 15 years later. You can go and watch like the documentaries about it. There's a few documentaries about it. A lot of people have talked about this case because I feel like you would know about it if you're looking for it, but if not, maybe not. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was just crazy. Like, I'm like, I don't. And to think that like the person who killed her is just out there like
chilling. Look at people.
Yeah.
And the people.
Yeah.
And they're probably making good money to this day.
Yeah. Probably like some general in the military.
I'm that serious. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Lavina Johnson's story. But yeah, her daddy ain't nothing to play with. He was basically like, fuck that. I'm not.
That is so disappointing though, because I'm like, I feel like when we did like the episode last week with like Tamala, it's a little bit easier because that's like just like the regular government and like signing the petition and getting the case reopened. I feel like stuff like that, like I've seen time and time again, like people having the power to do that. I feel like with the military, especially this case, it saddens me a little bit more because I feel like it's going to be like a bit harder to kind of, I feel like even if the petition hits like a million signatures, I feel like it's going to be harder to get like the government, to get like the military to like actually reinvestigate this and then be honest about the findings of it. Because I feel like if they do reopen it, to say they will not just close it again is, like, not impossible. Like,
yeah. And it's their investigation.
Exactly.
Like, they're the ones who do the investigation. Yeah, of course, her family got independent findings, independent autopsy. But at the end of the day, all that does is, like, drum up, you know, information about her case and, like, you know, I guess the court of public opinion, so to speak.
Yeah.
But if the military wants to close the case about something that happened in the military, they're going to close that case. And it just is what it is. Yeah, so, I mean, if you get enough people behind it, if you get enough, like, you know, media behind it, obviously things can happen because, you know, as most people know by now, the media is very powerful. But they also need money from certain entities. They need money from certain people, and that also scares certain people, a.k.a. the United States government and the military. So it's like a big old mess, but her family's like still fighting to get her justice. It's not just her. There's statistics that say that 1 in 3 female soldiers would be raped or sexually assaulted during their time in the service. And also they're more likely to be sexually assaulted by a fellow soldier than they are to be injured by enemy fire. So if you're a woman and you go into the military, you think like, oh, I might get killed. It's more likely that you'll get raped than that you'll get killed by a opposing party.
That is so upsetting.
Yep.
I don't know if we can find any resources as far as, I guess, helping with that as well. It's always so crazy because when you are trying to literally fight the man, fight the system, it's much harder to find like resources to help these women instead of like, you know, helping private, like, women who are like civilians get help who have been involved or like victims of sexual assault. I feel like it's so hard to actually do something to help this.
Yeah.
I guess, but I do believe like this is allegedly a democratic society, so I feel like to put a positive spin on it, even though I'm kind of not feeling it lately. I feel like if we do maybe like, you know, press for more answers and press for the army and the military to change their standards, that we can change this for women. And I hope that if this country is truly like democratic, which it doesn't seem like anymore, that we can really like, I guess, try to advocate for that and see a brighter future.
This shit crazy.
It really is. That's like, it's really unsettling.
Like, because it's so blatant.
Yeah.
It's so blatantly obvious. Like, and it's like, how do you do something so obvious and so clearly a murder and so clearly a cover-up and then just get away with it? Like, who pours acid on their own vagina and then
cuts their own tongue out
and then you shot yourself in the head, but there's no big old hole from this assault rifle. There's just a small hole that looks like a pistol hole on the side of your head. Struggle marks. You got marks all on your head, broken nose, broken neck, fucked up face, loose teeth knocked out your mouth, and all this extra stuff. And the military can just come in and be like, oh no, it was a suicide, regardless of all this evidence. That's crazy to me. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm just like, and I feel so bad for her family. I mean, for really bad, especially for, I mean, obviously for her dad too, but he's like, I guess, trying to be like the stronger one in this situation.
I thought he is, yeah.
But her mom did do like one interview and like, she kept like crying. Like, it's like, she can't take it.
I will keep crying even 10 years later. I really pray for the protection of her family, and I hope her mother, I don't know, find some type of peace eventually with it. But I feel like the way it's done, there is no, like, peace to be had. Like, until there is justice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel like I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Like, even hearing this story, I feel like I'm going to have, like, nightmares about it tonight. Like, it's really unsettling.
Yeah. And then, like, for the other women and stuff like that, like, they're like, oh, yeah. Just, like, bullshit stuff. Like, oh, yeah, she pulled the trigger with her big toe. Why the fuck would anybody kill themselves with their so damn toe?
That's weird. It's like, would she have been, I don't want to dig to me, but would she have to have been barefoot to do it? Because yes. I think if you have, like, yeah, you have a boot on, you can't do that. So she took her shoes off to do that?
When you could just use a different guy.
Yeah.
I think that they keep using the M16 thing because they carry those around. So it's easy to
say they did
They did it with that rifle because, like, that's their rifle. They carry that rifle with them all the time. So, but the problem with that in women is, like, you know, we tend to be a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's a big-ass gun. That's not really physically possible for a lot of women to do that. Our arms are not long enough, and it just doesn't make sense. If you're going to kill yourself, you're probably going to do it the easiest way.
Yeah, that's so unsettling.
Yeah, like, and it's not to say that people, like, I don't want people to be like, oh, well, you know, people you don't say, like, you always can peg, like, sexual, I mean, like emotional distress or, like, mental illness. No, you can't always.
You can't.
But there are sometimes signs that you can look for, and it's like, if nobody has showed any of these signs or any reason for you to think that they would kill themselves, coupled with all this other, like, she was talking about the future, she was talking about coming home, she was talking about her parents and her siblings and all this stuff, that's not, like, the attitude of somebody mm-hmm. who is, like, distressed and about to kill themselves.
Well, I think, well, to be honest, I don't know if, like, the timeline in which she actually got sexually assaulted is, I think a lot of times, like, mm-hmm. if you are, like, the stronger person in the family, or you have, like, been branded the strong person, mm-hmm. I think it is harder to show, like, those. Or you may really restrain yourself from showing those typical, like, suicidal behaviors where people are like, oh, if you're going to kill yourself, they normally ask somebody to, like, watch their pets. Or they mm-hmm. start talking really weird. Like, so, like, there is no future. They start talking, like, next week is the last day. Like, Earth is open. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like maybe she was just, like, that strong person for her family. Maybe mm-hmm. she did just deal with it alone, which is even sadder. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't think she killed herself to begin with.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want people to be like, oh, like, people just think, like, mental health, you know? I was like, no, that's not even the main point. It's not the main point that I don't think that she could have killed herself because of her attitude. It's really, like, the physical evidence that I'm mm-hmm. like, no, there's no way this girl killed herself.
Yeah.
There's no fucking
way. At this point, I don't even care, like, if she killed herself. The thing I want, say what you want. Y'all can keep on talking that talk about she killed herself. But what you need to do is, even if they want to discredit that, somebody is responsible for all the injuries on her. Mm-hmm. And at that, they need to be held accountable. Say you want it, she kills up, fine, go for it. But either way, those burns and those injuries might have killed her anyways. Mm-hmm. So they need to be held accountable. I know it's not going to happen, but that should happen regardless if it was a suicide or not.
Yeah. And for them to say, like, oh, she, you know, she just did this, you know, she, I'm like, nobody burns their vagina up and
nobody
sticks something in it and cuts their tongue out and then burns their back and then, like, does all types of weird shit and then kills themselves. And on top, like, it, as y'all can see, the whole thing don't make no damn sense. Sign Lavina's petition, because this is nonsense. It's total nonsense. Like, when I was looking through this, I was like, I can't believe this. Like, this is so blatant.
I can't believe
it's so obviously a murder. I can't believe this.
Well, the one positive is that we're doing stuff in the future is that we all do have the ability to help right now. So it'd be awesome if we could all. I think we're going to put the petition definitely in the bio. So mm-hmm. please sign that. I don't know if there's a GoFundMe or something. But if there is, always donating to legal funds like that is always a great opportunity to help as well. Sam, we just encourage you guys to really do that because you actually can change stuff. I mean, it might feel like a hard battle, but the least you can do is help this family.
Facts. Yeah, because they're still, I mean, they're still here and they're still fighting for her, you know, justice. So that wraps up Lavina's case. Like we said, sign her petition. We'll link it. Donate to her if her family has a legal fund or anything like that. I'll link the documentary. I'll link a bunch of different podcasts I listen to about it or YouTube videos I listen to about it, articles and things like that. But yeah, on a different note, thank you guys for all the listens we got on the Tamla Horsford case. We got a lot of, like, listens on there. But my problem is niggas still ain't contacting us.
Wait, what?
So
you switched it up so quick.
If you're one of the many people who have listened to that, you know, feel free to send us an email or a DM. Don't ghost listen.
If you enjoy the podcast, please rate us. We have one rating.
No, we have five now or six. Yeah.
We have five ratings.
All five, all 5 stars though. Don't play.
Please rate us and write a, please don't be lazy. Hit the 5 stars. But also please write a nice comment.
Yeah. Facts. So yeah, you know, rate us, follow us, give us a good rating. We're Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. We're cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. We're mostly on Instagram though, but please, we take requests for different cases. Mm-hmm. We take requests for different stories. So if you're like, hey y'all, have y'all heard of this case? Like, y'all should look at this or look at this conspiracy. We will look into it and we will most likely do it. Especially if you're the first one to ever send it in. Yep. We will do it.
So we'll do it.
We will fucking do what you suggested. So yeah, that's it. Like we said, donate to Sis's, sign Sis's petition. And yeah, I'm Taylor again.
And I'm Jade.
All right, and this is Cognac Conspiracies. We're signing off.
Bye, guys.
Bye.